Welcome to the Great Western Woods World Building Podcast with me, Angeline Trevina.
And me, HB Lyne. Join us as we talk all things world building.
Get tips and advice for creating rich and immersive worlds for your stories, whether you're an aspiring author or wanting to level up your world building for future books.
We'll be digging deep into our own experiences and sharing what we've learned along the way to publishing over 15 books between us in 5 years. So get comfy.
And grab a cuppa. Let's get world building. Hi everyone, you've just got me, Angeline, today, and I'm going to be talking about building valuable objects into your world. Now, if you're living as a human, which I would presume most of you are, you'll know some things about valuable objects. For example, different objects can be valuable for different reasons, because not all value is monetary. Well, for some people it is, but that's by the by. Also, something that is valuable to one person may be completely invaluable to another. One man's trash is, of course, another man's gold. I'm just going to kick off really quickly by talking about something that is valuable to us, Holly and myself, and this podcast. What's valuable to us is word of mouth. We get so many listeners because you guys have recommended this podcast to author friends, or you've posted about it online and your peers have seen it. So we want to say a huge thank you to you all for doing that and for everyone who's taken the time to drop us a message and tell us that they've enjoyed the podcast. It honestly does make our day every time. And you can really help us out by sharing our podcast on social media. Just take a screenshot while you're listening and tag us in a post. You will put a huge smile on our faces. I also, very quickly, want to talk about my NaNoWriMo project. If you were doing National Novel Writing Month, or NaNoWriMo, in November, you'll know the extreme pressure that you can feel to hit that 50,000 word goal. It can feel very heavy, very desperate, and I know that there are people who put their life on hold to attempt it. Worse, I know people who put their mental health and personal well-being aside to attempt it. And we've said it loads of times in previous episodes, but seriously, you are so much more important than your word count. Your life is more important, your family, and your responsibilities. Now, on that note, I don't even aim for 50k anymore. With two young boys to look after, it's just not feasible for me at this stage in life. In fact, I think I've only won NaNo once since becoming a mum. These days, I aim for a personal goal of 30k. I find it so much more manageable. This year, however, I didn't even quite manage that, finishing the month on 27,500 words. But that's a massive achievement, so I don't see that in any way being a loss. That does not make me a loser at all. Now, I'm a discovery writer, and when I started writing on November the 1st, I had no idea what I was going to write at all. I'd done the world building, and my main character had a name, and that was basically it. And as it usually does, it took me around 20,000 words to even find the story. So the vast majority of what I wrote in November was nothing more than me bumbling around in my world looking for a thread to start my story on. And so, as a result, I will have a massive rewriting job to do. Most of those 20k words won't even make it to the published book. Was it a waste of a month? Was it a waste of time and effort? Not in the least. I explored the world and found the most compelling story that I could. There were several others I could have chosen, but I kept digging until I found the golden thread. I also spent time getting to know my characters and getting to know how the world worked. And so that time and effort wasn't wasted at all. It was very valuable to the story as a whole. And it was valuable to me as a writer. Because when I pick that story back up again, I will easily be able to pull out all the threads that don't fit anymore and continue from the really good base I've already written. It was very, very valuable. See what I did there? Value. Now, if you're interested, I have written a blog post on our website entitled 5 Ways You Won NaNoWriMo Without Hitting 50k. And if you are feeling a bit down about your efforts in November, I urge you to go and check it out. So let's get back to the main subject of this podcast, world building valuable items. Now, obviously, when we're talking about valuable items, we need to talk about economics. What in your world is valuable in a monetary sense? Things may be valuable because they are scarce and rare. They may be valuable because they are absolutely essential for survival. Or they may be valuable because the supply of them can be controlled. It's always useful to remember that power is as valuable as money, or probably more valuable, in fact. You cannot separate the two. Why do some people in the world starve when there is plenty of food for everyone? Humans are hoarders, and when one person or a small number of people can afford to hoard the majority or all of a particular resource, then they can increase the value of that resource by controlling its supply. They can push prices up and down depending on demand. They can manufacture scarcity, therefore manufacturing value, be that a resource or land or money or, indeed, power and control itself. It's important to note that the value of any item is the maximum price that someone is willing to pay for it. Of course, this too can be manipulated. Anything can reach a higher price if the buyer can be persuaded that it's rarer than it actually is, or that they need it more than they actually do. So, let's talk about some valuable items you might place into your world building and why they might be valuable. As I've already said, something that is valuable to one person may well not be valuable to another, or it may have a different kind of value. At the individual level, you can have sentimental value, so an object is valuable because of its meaning to a particular person. This could be a family heirloom, either valuable in a monetary sense or not. It could be an expensive vase or painting. It could be medals won by an ancestor, or it could be a ratty old teddy bear with only one ear. Either way, that object has the same sentimental value. This can be a great source of conflict. First, you can have the bully taking something precious from someone younger, smaller, or weaker than them. The object itself isn't valuable to the bully, but the reaction from the owner of the object is where the value lies. They can take the object to wield power over that individual. It might be to instill fear in them or to remind them of their social standing, their place in the social hierarchy. Or it might be taken for the purpose of blackmail, to make that person do something before their object is returned to them. A sentimental object can also become a source of conflict if it has value to someone else. Such as in that scene in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Kevin Costner as Robin of Locksley wants to cross the river. John Little tells him that the price of crossing will be his medallion, or rather his late father's medallion. Robin says, "This is sacred to me," and John replies, "It's sacred to us too, mate. That there will feed us for a bloody month." So while the value of the medallion is very different to each of them, it is still valuable to them both. Then, of course, they have a good old fight. Conflict. The other way in which this can happen is by facing your character with a tough decision. Do they sell the object to feed their family, or do they keep the object because of its sentimental value? This conflict can just be an individual internal conflict, or it could involve someone else, such as the bully I mentioned earlier. Perhaps they have to sacrifice said object to save someone they love. Sentimental objects can have a wider scope of value too. It isn't necessarily just an individual that holds it sacred. It could be a whole town. It might be a statue of their founder or liberator. It could be an object that is sacred to an entire country or race or religion. And, again, it can be a source of conflict because those characters have something to lose. We all know that, as soon as a character has something or someone they hold dear, that it can be used against them. There is nothing more dangerous than the person who has absolutely nothing to lose. The other thing that can be valuable to large groups of people are natural resources. And those natural resources are, of course, valuable to both the people who have them and the people who don't, hence trade. But you also have the added element of danger and potential conflict again. To a village that trades wood from its forest, a forest fire could be devastating. Likewise, a mining village could lose half its population in a mine collapse. There is also the risk of theft, or the risk of being cheated. There are also the natural resources that communities need themselves to survive. Fresh water, food sources. Natural disasters can wipe out entire populations, either through direct risk to life, such as a flood or a landslide, or it can be a longer, slower process through repeated failed harvests, a poisoning of their water source, or the introduction of a new predator. If you wake up to find a family of dragons have moved in next door, your village's valuable natural resources may no longer be worth the risk of living there. Because there is often risk involved, and you can use this to raise the stakes. What are your characters willing to do to protect or to retrieve something precious to them? Would they kill for it? Would they die for it? Would they sacrifice others? This can be deeply tied into your world building. Which resources are plentiful in your world, which are scarce, which are vital for day-to-day survival, and which are a luxury? Which can be controlled? And how are they controlled? And who controls them? Which have been outlawed? And why? You can also raise the stakes for your character by including a deadline. Do they need to get a certain medicinal herb before a loved one dies? Do they need to find a particular magical object before their world disappears forever? Can they stop the war by finding a particular object or person? I suspect that off the top of your head, you can probably think of loads of stories that use this idea. Giving your character a compelling reason to continue towards their goal, no matter the hardships, no matter the barriers and conflicts, no matter what they're sacrificing, makes for a great story. It gives their purpose value. And if it has value, then they have a lot to lose. And your readers will love a character who has a lot to lose, especially if they are willing to risk it all. Now, going back to the point about how different items have different amounts of value to different people. So, let's take, for example, a gold necklace. To a person who has 500 gold necklaces, one gold necklace may not be particularly valuable. To a person who only has one gold necklace, that necklace is probably going to be worth a lot more. So, do we always need to write about people who don't have much? As a dystopian author, you're probably asking the wrong person. But in all seriousness, no. It may seem easier to write about someone in poverty risking their last valuable thing for their quest. But it is all about how you raise the value of that item. So how can you make a single gold necklace just as important to someone who has 499 others? You give it special importance. Perhaps it has sentimental value, perhaps it has magical properties, perhaps it contains the only photo they have of the mother they never knew, or the only curl of hair from their child who passed away. Perhaps it was stolen from someone else and their quest is to return it. While it may seem more difficult or less romantic or compelling to write about someone who has so much, risking everything for one item, it is all about how you tell the story, and it is all about what they are risking. Their life, their freedom, their loved one, their country. as ever, and as I will keep saying over and over, it all comes back to character. Character is everything, and everything must flow from it. Take your character on a journey, whether literal, metaphorical, or both. Raise the stakes, give them conflict, and keep them fighting for their goal. Of course, valuable things aren't always actual objects. They can be people. They can be places. They can even be ideals, beliefs, or abstract nouns such as freedom, power, knowledge, love. Your character might be fighting to prove their own innocence, or even to clear the name of a dead ancestor. They might be looking for justice or vengeance. These things can be just as valuable as a gold necklace, or a magical staff, or an unbeatable sword. It all comes back to that character. How valuable is this thing to them? And what are they willing to sacrifice to have it? And, importantly, how will their life change if they get it? How will the world change? Will they even live to see that change? There are so many stories that can be unraveled out of valuable objects, but always remember that you need to keep bringing it back to your character and the world they live in. The world can be a barrier to them getting or keeping this valuable thing, or it might be the reason they want it in the first place. And remember that things can change along the way. Objects can become less valuable to them or more valuable. Their goals can change, their allegiances, and the things they're willing to risk can change. Perhaps the object is destroyed before they reach it. Perhaps new information decreases its value or increases its value. Perhaps instead of seeking to retrieve it, they discover that they must destroy it. So, when you're building your world, think about the valuable objects that you place into it, and think about how the value and the cost of things can create conflict and raise the stakes for your character. Make their goal more difficult to achieve. Perhaps they can't afford a horse or a train ticket. Perhaps they can't afford the visa to cross a border. Perhaps they can't afford the army that they need. Maybe they need to make a decision between one valuable object and another. Maybe they need to sacrifice their dignity or their principles. Think about what is valuable to them. Think about what it might cost them to get it or to keep it, or to destroy it. Think about how you might tempt them away or distract them with something else. Think about what they will risk, what they will sacrifice. Think about how far they will go and how far you can push them before they break. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Great Western Woods Worldbuilding Podcast. We'll be back next week with more writing tips and tricks.
You can find us in all the usual places. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And all the show notes and whatnot are on our website at greatwesternwoods.com.
On our website, you can also find the link to join our band of adventurers and access our monthly online worldbuilding chat sessions.